Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
All right, today, our topic will be Release the Greater One Within. Say, I will release the greater one within me. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today is going to be from 1 John chapter 4, where we find this phrase in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Say, I am of God. Say, greater is Jesus in me than anything or anyone in this world. Amen. And I'm going to give you today an application of this text to our circumstances today. You know, the Bible tells us, the Apostle John wrote, or Peter wrote, that God gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And when it says God gives, God uses a lot of different people. He'll use your job, he'll use your education. So it's not like when it says God gives, it comes straight from heaven in some spiritual form. No, when God sends it, it's spiritual in essence, in foundation, but there's material attached to it. There's real things attached to it, amen? I mean, when you're praying for God to help you with your finances and take care of obligations, God doesn't give you money, right? You know why? He doesn't have any money. God has no money. It always sounds bad, doesn't it? But the fact is, the Bible says he gives us the power to get wealth. So when God does things, we don't know how he'll do it. We give him the glory, no matter how he does it. And God can use all kinds of folks. He uses all kinds of situations. He won't use sinful and wrong and criminal things. But God can use, and God does, it has used, many different tools, many different assets to bring his truth to pass. So we have overcome them, whatever, whoever they, whatever that might be, because Jesus in you, God in you, is greater than those things, those elements in the world. So then, when we talk about release the greater one, what's in my heart today is to encourage us, because you know these things, though you were here, you knew all this. I want to stir up in you, and those watching, maybe you don't know, but either teach you or stir up in you remembrance that the greater one is already in you. Amen? One of the biggest deceptions in life is to look for something you already have. And that's one of the big games sometimes people play, preachers play, you know, come over here and get your deliverance. I'm already delivered. I'm already complete in Christ Jesus. I have all things in Christ that I need. And so what I'm after is to discover what he's given me, to release what he's given me. Amen, somebody? I told you a story a couple of times. We had a hot summer many years ago. Our air conditioning went out, you know, and, you know, I know us of a certain age were raised under fans and all that. That's the good old days are long gone. Amen. I thank God for some air conditioning. I confess, I'm hooked on it now. Let me confess, I'm hooked on it, okay? So when that thing went out in that big old house, it was bad. And I thought, oh, we got to call somebody. That's, now, we, you know, all truth be told, too, we raising four children. We were never broke. But money wasn't just laying around to go buy an air conditioning compressor. Anyway, so we fretted about that a little bit. Well, I did more than my wife. My wife just began thinking, which, you know, the greater one rose up in her. Little guy rose up, little complaining guy rose up in me. The complainer rose up in me, you know what I'm saying? So I released the wrong thing. So she got into the insurance papers and found out that the outage, you know, the compressor going bad would be covered if there was some sort of a surge, electrical surge going through from the city to the house. And sure enough, we found out, my wife did some research, found out that there was a surge. Now, the compressor was old. So it wasn't like, you know, it didn't take much to knock it out. But isn't it amazing how God can use all kind of things? Yeah. That surge wouldn't have hurt a brand new compressor. But it killed the old one. And we were able to get a new one. Praise God. So I say that to say that God uses a lot of things. What you want to do is just keep releasing the greater one in you. Just keep on focusing on the greater one within. Because especially in times of challenge and trouble, all type of stuff that's in us too will try to manifest itself. The complainer side come out. You know what I'm saying? The opinion person come out. All that come out. But let's let Jesus manifest himself. He's already there. Say, I already have my answers in Christ. Now, I'm giving you context. I'm going to a place right now that you may misunderstand when I first start, but you'll get the point as I go through this, because I am firmly convinced that God is a God of today. He's a God in our present. He's a God who is engaged with all of our lives at every level, not just church life, not just prayer life. He's engaged in all of my life. He is Lord of all. The Bible says he has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. So when things happen that go against kingdom principle, I know we're in a world full of sinners. I'm not surprised when things happen. But at the same time, we want to see the grace of God manifest. Where sin abounds, I want to see some grace abounding. Amen. And that's going to happen through believers, through Christ followers. It's not coming through Christians. Christians have become a lost cause, y'all. I mean, not all, but, you know, that title is like, it don't mean nothing now. So are you following Jesus or just wearing a title? And the title wearers aren't helping us anymore. Only the people who really walk in Christ, full of God's Spirit, led by the Spirit, guided by the Word, kingdom principle oriented. Those are the people who help other people today. Amen? All right. I said all that to say this. Here's the application I want to give you today. We're living in a time of tremendous challenge. I mean, it's always been this way. In this world, against a dark world, a fallen world, things happen all the time. And the circumstances can become intimidating, overwhelming. We're seeing a society in the 21st century that is becoming less and less generous, less helpful, less willing to lift other people up who are disadvantaged. And part of it is, it seemed like there's a desperation, like a mindset where I got to get mine. And you might be in a way of me getting mine. I mean, all we got is 10 spaces over here. I need to get in there. Me and my family, we got to have those spaces. And so there's this sense where people have the wrong mind. Listen, there's no lack of anything in this country. We got money, we got all opportunity, we got everything in this country. But people act like we're running out of stuff. And so there's a desperation. Now, This last week, here on the weekend of Independence Day, July 4th, Independence, something happened a couple days ago that defies it, defies the principle of independence and empowerment. And that was, you know, the Supreme Court struck down affirmative action, all right, made it illegal to consider students for admission to school, qualified students, because of their race or ethnicity. Interestingly, it doesn't apply to military academies. Doesn't apply, let me walk through here as careful as I can. Not because I'm afraid of anything, but I just need to save some time. I've looked at this closely, but listen, y'all, affirmative action was never about elevating unqualified black folk over qualified white folk. That's the lie. That's not what it's about. It's about selecting from a pool of diverse, qualified people. For example, we're at media camp. You know, I looked for white kids to help. Our media camp, this is a quote-unquote black church, media camp, mostly black kids. I was looking for white kids to help. Looking for them. Latinos, kids who had different disabilities, we had autistic children there. I mean, I was looking for all kinds of people. Even though I'm primarily oriented toward our own black kids, but yet because of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of what the nation's about, and I want to affirm everybody and act on their behalf. So it's funny how we get them affirmative action. Oh, something wrong with that. Who made you think that way? So here's the point. It's about affirming, it was about affirming the value of people, especially marginalized people, and taking action in support of them. See the words I'm using? See, affirmative action, they've made it a boogeyman like critical race theory, CRT. When people do that, and then they create this narrative, it's bad, it's woke is bad. That's the kind of foolishness we're looking at today. But we as Christ followers and we as a nation should be about affirming people. Say affirm people. And then taking action to help them. That was the whole premise and foundation of it. It's about creating opportunities. And that's what we're about. So let me read you this statement, a couple of statements. Again, I'm preaching. I'm still preaching, y'all. I'm a kingdom preacher. Aren't you glad to be in a church where you can preach what needs to be said and not worry about people getting mad and leaving? Well, you might get mad and leave, but I don't think you will. Not y'all. Listen to this. In her dissent, and I'm going back to scripture in a moment. Watch this. Very important. Context. In her dissent to the majority opinion rejecting affirmative action, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote in part, listen to this, very powerful. Now, a dissent is when it's nine justices, six said we're going to take it down, three said you shouldn't do that for these reasons. So she said, with let them eat cake obliviousness, today the majority pulls the ripcord and announces colorblindness for all by legal fiat. But deeming race irrelevant in law does not make it so in life. And having so detached itself from this country's actual past and present experiences, the court has now been lured into interfering with the crucial work that UNC, University of North Carolina, and other universities of higher learning are doing to solve America's real-world problems. No one benefits from ignorance. Although formal race-linked legal barriers are gone, race still matters to the lived experiences of all Americans in innumerable ways. And today's rulings makes things worse, not better. That's called speaking the truth in love. Not Bible truth, but objective truth. All right. Now, here's a quote from New York Times. The intensity and duration of the attack on affirmative action is sad confirmation that many Americans remain unwilling to reckon with the barbarity of our racial history. Right? So there's this thing, move now, just erase our history. Erase the bad, the parts that make you feel bad, make some folk feel bad. Well, the fact is, Bible says, don't remove the ancient landmark. There are landmarks of victory and breakthrough in the middle of all that adversity. There's history that tells what God did to bring people through. And listen, y'all, what was good for black folk was good for the whole nation. The whole nation. The whole nation benefited. And so there are a lot of things that you know, that's why these so-called Christians who are behind all this foolishness, all or not, I know, but those who are going against kingdom, against scripture, against the spirit of Christ, against what God sent us to do, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and so forth. All right. Now, let me give you the scripture. Nehemiah 8, next slide here. So once they had completed rebuilding Jerusalem, went back in and rebuilt the walls and all that, we read this. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, this is the celebration of dedication. It says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This is the mindset of true followers of God. Now, the concept of affirming others and taking positive actions on their behalf is scriptural. Notice that when they completed the work, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and were celebrating restoration of the temple and all that, and people began to return, and those who were there who had been neglected were being helped. But recognize that many were dispersed. Many of the Jews had been dispersed. I mean, they came from captivity to come back to help Jerusalem, all right? They're already in captivity. So the Bible here says, though, that when it came time to celebrate, the instruction was, go and enjoy your choice food. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your provision, enjoy your food, and enjoy, you know, the drink you have, he says. But he said this too, don't forget while you're rejoicing over yourself. Do not forget others. He said, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. That's the spirit of it. That's what affirmative action is supposed to be. Y'all got enough. You got more than enough. Send some to those for whom nothing is prepared. It's almost like today, the mindset is, I got mine. What's wrong with you? Think about that. It's almost like that. I got mine. You don't work hard enough. Don't work hard enough. Well, if you work hard enough, you would be admitted. There are many cases of young people in the top one percentile of their class, standing of GPA, not admitted to some schools because of their race. How is that possible? Duh, who's making the decisions? Who decides? And so the tendency, that's why even we as black folk got to make room for others too. You can't hog it all to yourself either. We all need help. Well, they got more. They don't have what you have. You can give what money can't buy. We all should be in the mindset of helping others on purpose. It's because they're people. I don't care what color they are. Have the mindset. Have the mindset. And if you have more, oh my goodness, you got a greater responsibility if you have more. So then, I like that. Here's some other scriptures I'm going to give you. Again, I want to, affirmative action is gone. I mean, legally, it's gone. And we see the consequences of it. But there are ways to do things. I put it like that, okay? Just do it, don't tell nobody. That's one way you can do it. Go get that black kid. Just help him. Don't tell Karen. Don't let Karen find out. I'll leave that alone. All right. Look at this. Think about this. Now, again, I know people in the world don't believe the Bible, don't follow the Bible. I know that. But my problem is you got believers who don't believe. You got people who are so political, they've lost all kingdom view. They've lost all sight of Jesus. They're so tied into a political party, one party or whatever it is, that they have no more view. They've married themselves to something that's ruined them, ruined their witness, ruined their vision for the larger world. All right, Mark 12:31. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? The person next door? No. Mm-mm. I mean, yes, but not only. Your neighbor is anybody that God brings into your life or makes you aware of. So then if a neighbor over there is a young student, brilliant student, hard worker, wants to advance, just don't have the money and the means. What you gonna do about that? Well, I would, but Sally has a 0.01 higher GPA than him. That don't make her better. 1% GPA difference doesn't mean you're better. Sometimes a whole grade point doesn't mean you're better. Sometimes you're a better test taker. So the point is, we have to follow, well, I can't say what the world gonna do. I know what we should do is follow the heart of God. All right, Galatians 6:2, let me go on here. Carry each other's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. That's your burden, that's your problem. Carry the burden, help them out, help them carry the burden. That's the sense of it. But this is not what we see today. Proverbs 3:27. Don't withhold good from someone who deserves it when it is in your power to do so. Don't withhold. Now, that's just somebody who deserves it. Sometimes people don't deserve anything. You still help them sometimes. All right, Philippians 2:4. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. We don't see that. I mean, even in the so-called church among Christians, we don't see it like we should. We got to get back to the heart of Christ. And certainly to admonish people who are falling behind these false narratives to wake up and come alive to Christ. Luke 3:10. The crowds asked him, what then should we do? Jesus answered, whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none. And whoever has food must do the same. That mindset, again, these are things that we don't see. But that this is the heart of Christ. 1 John 3:17. But if someone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but refuses to help, how can the love of God dwell in a person like that? Well, he's not my brother or my sister. That's not the sense of it, blood brother, blood sister. Or only even Christian brother, Christian sister. There's a sense where if you love people the way you should love them, everybody's your brother and sister at a certain level. At the least, everyone's worthy of love and concern and help. Not to enable, but to help. Acts 20:35. In everything, Paul wrote, I have shown you that by working hard, we must help the weak. In this way, we remember the Lord Jesus' words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. These are things that we need to understand, and really return to. And really speak to and address. And as we see policies in our communities decline, we got to speak to it. We got to be salt and light, shed light on it. I'm not saying we're going to change everything, because obviously the world's in sin and it's going to get worse before Jesus comes. We know this too. But I'll say, well, we're concerned. Well, we're concerned. Let the greater one be released in you. Rise up in you. Amen. All right. So here it is. So in this environment, we must remind ourselves that the greater one lives within us. Say it again. The greater one lives within me. We trust God, and we also look for him to work in our circumstances, rearrange circumstances, remove ungodly people, and bring whatever is needed to make a difference. This is what it meant, what is meant by the word release. Say release. Release. Say shout release. Shout release. Come on. Release.
Release.
Well, what does that word mean? Look at this. Release means to set free from restraint, confinement, or servitude. Release means to relieve from something that confines, burdens, and oppresses. So as a pastor, as a father and grandfather and community person, I look at the children and look at their futures, at what they're going to need. And they need more than a sermon from me. More than a sermon. They need the presence of God, the wisdom of God, and the help and the wisdom to work situations in their circumstances and to see how God wants to do it. Matter of fact, it's an opportunity to help people understand, first of all, you're Imago Dei, you're made in God's image. Let Christ in your heart become fulfilling that. And guess what? The greater one now is in you. And he'll help you overcome these circumstances. Deal with these folk who don't want to give you an opportunity. I mean, God can do things, y'all. He can do things. And hey, and God still got good people. And listen, everybody out here in the world is not trying to keep you down. It's just that those who do are loud. You know what I'm saying? And they're in office right now, okay? But in courts, but there are a lot of people who have this same mindset and know that God put them in position to help people, not just pull people down. That's why people who are politicians should be public servants. They should be public servants. That's what they should be, not just a politician, not just amassing power, you know, for their few over here, but represent and serve everybody. Matter of fact, the principle of the country is supposed to be that even when you have a majority, you look out for the minority. I mean, not minority people, I mean minority party. I mean, if you run everything, then you're more responsible to be careful how you handle people who have less. But now it's a tyranny. Now it's a tyranny of the majority. We got all, we got the White House, we got the State House, the governor's office. We can do anything. That's our state of Indiana has that. It's called a supermajority. Nothing restrains them. But the attitude should be, even though we have all this, we're going to look out for people. Because I promise you, it's going to shift. You're going to be out of power. Majorities always flip around eventually. I just pray that whoever gets in next isn't trying to do retribution. Yeah, now I got, yeah, well, yeah, watch me now. Now I'm in here. I'll make y'all pay. That's the wrong spirit. So the world, listen, y'all, I don't have much hope anyway for the world. All my hope is in Christ, in me, amen? And yet I hope that in this world we can make things better while we're serving God's purpose. All right, move on here. Philemon, chapter 1, love this. So then, if we're going to find release or release the greater one within, you have to first know what is within you. I love this text that Paul wrote to Philemon. It says, just one chapter long, verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Now, this is King James Version, New King James Version. Other versions read different. I like this version. It says that your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. That to me is the epitome of the greater one. Even though I'm in the midst of all these adverse circumstances, in my heart, in me, in Christ, there's a faith that is effective. There's a faith that has the power to release and to bless and add strength and to change circumstances. And so let us be clear about what is in you in Christ. See, I will be clear about what is in me in Christ. What now? Let it out. Let it out. Release it. The greater one in within, let him out. Manifest through you. So knowing that Jesus lives within your heart by the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest realities of your life, if not the greatest. God wants you to have faith in him and confidence in what he has given you. I always teach you that. Have faith in God and have confidence in what God has given you. The greater one within is your source of strength, hope, and ability to live a victorious life. Y'all believe that? I pray you do, because we need this in these times. The greater one within you is your new creation nature in Christ. Corinthians says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not all new things. Not all new things. All things become new. It's the same body, same mind, same skin tone, all that. All things become new. It is the greater one transforms what you already have, transforms who you already are. Love that truth. Realizing that every good thing inside of you is the key to your effective faith. Here's a quote from William Barclay. The person whose source is God will welcome the truth. The man or the person whose source is the world will reject it. So be clear about your source now. Your source can't be Supreme Court, USA, Independence Day, all that. Those have a function. But the truth is your source. God's your source. Now, here's something I want to share with you. So the Apostle Paul understood the greater one within him. Philippians 4 says this, verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you think about that, he's telling you he understands what he has in Christ in him. He's telling you, this is who I am, what I have in Christ. He's also saying to us, telling us that this is the confidence I have in God. The faith I have in God and the confidence I have, faith in God and confidence in what he's given me. He's saying both of those things. And he's saying that the greater one is being released from me. Paul lived like that. We should too. Have that self-awareness. I'm aware of my circumstance. I see the problems. I'm living through problems. I'm experiencing problems. But that's not greater than what's in me. See, my problem is not greater than who is in me. Because the temptation is another problem, another thing. And so now we think problems define us. Especially you get two or three in a row, you know. It's like, man, what's going on here? What's up? What's up with this? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. You are still more than a conqueror through him who loved you. So release the greater one and begin to let Christ ascend over every problem, over every situation. Let the mind of Christ help you see clearer. All right, three perspectives, almost done. Three perspectives to release the greater one within you. Three perspectives. First is have confidence in God. Say, Lord, help me. Have confidence in you, faith in you. Number two, a strong sense of purpose. Say that, a strong sense of purpose. And number three, a made up mind. Say that, a made up mind. So confidence in God or faith in God, a strong sense of purpose, and a made up mind. How's that work? Well, you know what? You can actually have confidence without arrogance. The problem is when you're truly confident, some people perceive it as arrogance. So the key is just do it. Don't talk about it. Just do what you do. Don't talk about it. Don't talk. Now, talk to folk who you can talk to encourage them, who can help you become better at what you're doing. But people only, you know, think you're arrogant when you talk about what God is doing. Just don't tell everybody. Ain't none of their business no way. You know, the key is do it. Just say, just do it. Do it. Do it. All right, arrogance. What is arrogance? Arrogance is having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities, behaving as if you are better and more important than other people. That's arrogance. And we've all had a touch of that going on. And think about arrogance, though. If you know, if you're a Christ follower and you go that way, God just knock you down, amen, knock you out for a little bit. You know, he handles that pretty, you know. Now, you can lay on the ground and still be a fool if you want to. But normally, if God lay you out, by the time you get up, your mind is right. You're clothed in your right mind. Some things God won't allow. You know how it is with our children? Your child bid not talk back to you and sass you. You can say, that child can be silent, the child can pout. Just don't run your, don't talk to me the wrong way. You know, you can't do that. You don't allow that. So God does not allow us to be arrogant in his presence. He will quickly shut it down. Amen, somebody. Amen. So that's why arrogance, it happens, but it won't stay around long if you really follow God. Amen. Or if you're arrogant, you'll meet somebody who truly has it. You thought what you had, you ain't got nothing. You know, you thought you had until somebody showed up who really had it. So God has ways of helping us. All right, but confidence is belief in one's God-given ability to succeed. So arrogance is characterized by the phrase, I can do all things. I mean, it's scripture, but just part of a scripture. Arrogance says, I can do all things. But confidence says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's kind of a fine line. Isn't difficult to navigate so long as your focus is Jesus. Your focus is grace. Your focus is the Holy Spirit. And your confidence is strong because you've got to do things. You've got to do the job, prepare the lesson. You know, that is your responsibility to do what you're supposed to do, and you are expected to do it well. So do it well and have confidence to do it well. Nothing wrong with that. Just don't talk about it. Just do it. That's the secret. Don't, people, you know, talk about things too much, get in trouble for it. Now, I say all this because I want to encourage us today that the release of the greater one within is coming out of, I say confidence, here it is, both faith and confidence are coming out of the release of the greater one. Last slide here, last point I'll make to you today. Arrogance undermines confidence because it is not based on God's ability, but in our ability alone. Self-righteousness is arrogance. Here's a final statement, kind of funny statement, but arrogance does not unleash the giant. Arrogance unleashes the little guy with the big head. There's a giant in you. Yeah, there's also a little guy with a big head. in you as well. But faith in God, confidence in God, focusing on Christ is the best of all circumstances for us. Because we both get to see what God can do miraculously, and we get to see what we can do with his strength in us. So we're not in that trap of saying, God, I'm waiting on you. No, God's waiting on you. Sometimes we think, God, I'm waiting on God. No, God waiting on you to have some confidence. He already gave you what he gave you. Now, let him manifest that in you. Let the greater one release the greater one within you. Amen? So, Lord, thank you for reminding us today of these truths, Lord God, things that most of us here already know. But, Father, thank you that we're going to refocus, even in these times where we see public policy is going against the interests of so many people, harming so many people. But, Lord, all the more reason for everyone to seek you, Lord, not only for refuge from these troubles, but, Lord, as a response to the trouble. And, Lord God, to make a difference in the lives of people who are being neglected. And I thank you, Father God, in this environment, we are never diminished in you. We are never without help and recourse and strength. It may be, Lord, we have to shift our focus away from certain people, away from certain institutions, onto other institutions, like black colleges, for example. Lord, help us, Lord God, to just gain wisdom on what to do, what moves to make for our children's sake. Lord, why should I be among people who don't appreciate them? Let us, Lord, put our children where they're appreciated, loved, and nurtured. And I thank you, Father God, that in these times we don't shrink back. We're not going to be afraid or hold our peace, Lord. We're going to speak the truth in love and make a difference however we can. But without you, Jesus, ultimately, without you, Lord, nothing is going to work without you in our hearts. We pray for our nation and pray for public policy institutions to do better. But, Lord, ultimately, we know we need you in our hearts to make a difference in our own lives, regardless of the circumstances. Help us teach our children that, and our children's children. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God some praise. If you're blessed, amen. Glory to God.